Yeah, it's a real joy to be with you this morning for Carol and me. You've got something very special here. The wonderful presence of God, and that's something to be coveted and acknowledged, yeah, and not taken for granted. Sometimes in church we can be aware of what we've not got and miss the pearl of greatest price that we do have. And there's nothing, no place in the world more precious than this place at this moment, because God is among his people and he's with you. And I want to honour you both as dear friends, but as a brother and sister in Christ. It's wonderful to see how the Lord's using you and blessing you, gracing you with his very life. And for us, the 60-mile journey around the M25 was just worth it, just to worship God with you. So praise God for that. And I'd like to, yes, share, but I'd love to just to pray, if I might, beforehand. Father, I just want to say, Father, on behalf of me, my wife, and this fellowship here, Father, that we love you. Unashamedly, we love you. We want to obey the first and greatest commandment, to love you with all of our being, every fibre in our body, every thought. We want to bring in subjection to you, Jesus. We want to know you as our wonderful Lord and Saviour. We want to yield to you, Father. I want to give in to the unrelenting love of God, Father, that is for us and to us. And wave a flag of surrender. I surrender to the love of God. That you would have your way in our lives, whatever that might mean, in whatever way. So, Father, we thank you for gracing us with your Holy Spirit. And Father, we don't want to stop worshiping. We want to continue, Father, as we receive your word, and we know the breath of God upon us. Change us by another degree of glory today. One more degree, Lord, to be like Jesus, the master potter may have his hands upon our lives, fashioning us. May we be malleable, pliable in your hands, Lord, that you may fashion us in the way you want for your glory. Amen. Praise God. I asked Janet if I could do a little. Amongst a couple of other things, I'm an editor of a daily reflection. This is a new version that starts on May the 25th, I think. And for a quarter, it looks at the Gospel of Mark. There are 10 other contributors along with me. But I've got a few complimentary copies. That's really... I leave them at the front. I hope that you are daily Bible readers, are you? And you might well have your own reflection. But I commend this to you. Another thing that I do is I'm a Free Church chaplain at Chelmsford Prison. I work with men there, particularly on a bereavement course that we run, but I also, and Cara and I and others, we take chapel services. We were there last Sunday. And I go in on Saturday morning to see men individually. And I think it's just right that I share an amazing testimony of a man who I was asked to see 5 Saturdays ago. The managing chaplain asked me to go and see this person, a young man in his 24, I think he is, and he's in healthcare and under constant supervision because he tried to take his own life. He tried to take his own life on March the 21st, when he also took his mother's life. And he did this and then tried to kill himself, but failed to kill himself. He had no faith, and I went to see him, and I just listened to him for a little while. I didn't ask him anything, why he was there or what trouble he was going, and there was constant watch, means there's an officer that's in the open door of his healthcare cell, watching him all the time. And we spoke for a little while, and I spoke about Jesus. He was so taken up with the emotion of what had happened and the horror of what had happened. He's not that sort of man. He's not. He's gentle. But this episode happened of drugs and his own mental well-being. And I spoke with him for some hour, and we prayed together, and I left him yet Christ. I did say at the end, can I give you a Bible? And so I went back to the multi-faith chapel, got a Bible and with a book on forgiveness, and gave it to him, encouraging him to read the Gospel of Mark. I came back the next Saturday morning and saw him again. He was a tad brighter, but still very, very full of remorse. I'd spoken about forgiveness the week before in the book on forgiveness that he'd read that, he'd read all of Mark, he'd now going through the Gospel of John. I said, this is really great. And he said, yeah, this is, every time I read it, it seems to be addressing an issue that I'm thinking about. I said, yeah, well, that's not surprising. It's the living word of God. It's God speaking to you through that Bible. And so, again, we spoke and we prayed again. And amazingly, the next Sunday, Saturday I came, he said, hey, you never guess what, but there was a man came and spoke to me on Wednesday night, because another officer had come from another prison and taken up that session to be the night watch. And he said he came in and he started talking to me about a prodigal son. I said, oh, that's amazing. Yeah? I said, that's great. And he said, yeah, he explained to me about the prodigal son. And you know, he's a Christian, and he was telling me all about other bits of the Bible. I said, how wonderful that God cares for you that much, that he sent a man from another prison to see you. And when I was there, I said, well, you want to read John, you want to read the Gospel of Luke, Luke 15. Because in Luke 15 is the Gospel, in the Gospel is the there's also the lost coin, and then my mind went black, and I said, and the lost, I couldn't think of it. And there's another officer, who was from another prison, at the door, watching us two, and he said, the lost sheep. I said, oh, thank you very much for that. Another born-again Christian. And the three of us now were engaging in a conversation. And I said, have you come to the point now What understanding you've got, you want to put your trust in Jesus. He said, yes, I would. And so the three of us, the prison officer, who shouldn't be doing this, me, who should be doing it, man, held hands, and he committed his life to Jesus Christ. I can't tell you the guy's name, but I'd love you to pray for him. And I saw him again, and he shared some deep stuff with me. And we were able to pray, and you could see the Holy Spirit was upon him, because he spent most of the time in tears. He's being remade. He's got a journey that I don't know. I don't know, but I know that one. On Sunday morning last week, another man who'd facing quite a lengthy prison sentence, who just came to chapel. He just felt, I got to get to chapel. And he came, and he committed his heart to Christ. And he's got enormous things, challenges in his life. So, doing an amazing thing. So praise God, be encouraged. And I know that he's doing amazing things amongst you here, and it's wonderful to behold. I want to start with an agreement. Could we do that? That we agree that our attitude is important. Yeah? Our attitude is most important. And so much of the Bible addresses our attitude. And our attitude is the way we see things. We see things, the way we see life, the way we see God, the way we see ourselves, our attitude towards ourselves. And one of the things in prison that we use when we do this Living with Loss course that we run is that about 3 years ago, or perhaps longer, 5 years ago, because Carol was with me, a man at the middle of the course, he said, I was reading something in the week, and can I put it up on the flip chart? And it's a huge risk you take when you give a pen to a man and you don't know what he's going to write, and it's an open meeting. But I thought, yeah, a little guy, you go ahead. We heard this. It's very simple. It's what's your thoughts? They become your words. Watch them. Watch your words. They become your actions. Watch your actions. They become your habits. Watch your habits. It becomes your character. Watch your character, it becomes your destiny. From thoughts, via words, actions, habits, character, destiny. Starts with thoughts. He had lost his daughter. She'd fallen downstairs and in his own words, the hospital really messed up her treatment, and she died, his daughter. And he said that to this group, and he was released from prison. Sadly, 6 months later, he came back into prison, and he took his own life in prison. And so those words to me are really powerful, because they were given to me through the life of a man who struggled with his thoughts. And there was that blackest of moments in his life where his thoughts took control of his actions. In Romans 11, if you could read, turn to Romans 11. And I want to read just the first part of Romans 12, but I just want to start on Romans 11, verse 36. For from him, for him, are all things. Does that deserve a hallelujah? Yeah? For from him, and through him, and for him are all things. All things mean all things. That includes you, now, that you are from him, you are for him. And he wants to work through you. To him be the glory forever. Amen. Then Romans 12 starts, therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, view of God's mercy as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world. This morning. But conform to a pattern of the world, a pattern of thinking, of acting, of behavior. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is. In the world that any of us could know is God's will at this moment of time. Yeah. We can know lots of stuff. You know, we are bombarded by information. By all sound bites coming from every direction, as well as those which are internal coming through our thought process. But to know that God's will and have it approved to us, his good, pleasing and perfect will, is the best thing that you and I could have. And it comes by allowing our minds to be transformed. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then it goes on to say, for the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought to. So, thinking with humility, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each one of you. So we think according to faith. For just as each one of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, hallelujah, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. And if your gift is, then exercise it. Understand that. That's the way you think. You've got value, you've got significance. You've got a call upon your life. You know the will. And so you live according to that will. You act according to that will. That will of God, that purpose of God, almost consumes you. It's what you live for. It's why Karen and I still press on to take hold of that which Christ has taken hold of us. And then in verse 9, good be done, honor, lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor, serving the Lord, be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer, share with the Lord's people who are in need. Whatever, and no matter how we feel, our greatest need today is to know the risen Lord and his voice in our life. Whether we've had a good week or a bad week, irrespective of how you feel, it's God's to meet with the risen Lord today to meeting with Jesus changes our life. For that guy 4 weeks ago that I met, his meeting with Jesus, and I couldn't think of a scenario, a life that is more, I don't know, ruined, total carnage, with nothing going for him. Jesus could come and meet him and begin to turn around his life and give him, it's not going to come overnight. He's got to start thinking differently. He's got to try, and that's the only way he thinks differently is by meeting with Jesus, by knowing Christ personally. It's the only thing that sustained Carol and our lives. That I became a Christian at 27, 51 years ago. It's our need to meet with Jesus. Not that I met with him 51 years ago, wonderfully. But that was an occasion, an amazing occasion of a start of a journey of Peter, we were called, he said, "Okay, come, Janet, come and follow me." Yeah? Yeah? And think of that, you know, we used to sing a song, "The King and I Walk Life Down." When the king says, "Come, walk with me. Come. I want you to walk with me. And as we walk together, I'm going to talk to you." Peter, it was the way Peter's, it started with Peter, but it's the way it ended with Peter, wasn't it? He said, "Come, Peter, come and walk with me." There's something I need to establish here that you may have just messed up in recent days, but I want you to know and I want you to confess that you love me, Peter, because it's what's going to sustain you in the days ahead, that you love me and know that I love you. And my grace is greater than anything that you've messed up." Hallelujah. Is that the life beat of our relationship with God? Is that what it is every moment by moment, to know the kiss of Christ? To know the embrace of the Father? To know those strong arms lifting us up, though everything's messed up. And we look around and we think, "Well, I'm not like that one, I'm not like this one. If only they knew." Yeah? Corinthians 3:18, "And we who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory." We all reflect the Lord's glory. This reflected glory is what the world needs to see. It's not my glory. It's not your glory. It's just that we have become the reflectors of the Lord's glory through the purity that he's put within us. How wonderful. All reflect the Lord's glory are being transformed into his likeness with ever increasing glory. Gets better, doesn't it? Most lamps, most lights begin to dim. This one doesn't. As we walk with him, it becomes more and more radiant. Yeah? As this old body becomes wizened and tired and can't do what it used to do. The beauty of Jesus. To another, "Let the beauty of Jesus be seen in me." Yeah. Isn't that the cry of our hearts? The cry of the for High Wycombe and it's not so much "Shine, Jesus, shine." It's "May that his shining be reflected in me and you." Because that's how people see the Lord, don't they? They see him in a body. He comes into a body. broken bodies that he's remaking and by degree is transforming them. And that's the thing that this renewed mind needs to tell ourselves, that we are being transformed, that you're not what you used to be. You're not. You're being transformed by the wonder-working power of God. And the real issue is not whether we're being blessed, but whether we're being changed. That great cry to God, change me, Lord. I need it. And he's the change maker. He's the way maker, but he's the change maker, isn't he? He is why this church is what it is. It's Jesus. It's Jesus in you, Jesus in me, and Jesus wanting to be in everyone who crosses the threshold of this church. Everyone you meet in your world, that you have the potential in Christ. He's given you all you need for godliness and holy living. Everything. He can't give you more than he's given you, because he's given you his Holy Spirit. What more is there? Yeah? It's just change, Holy Spirit, change me. Make me like Jesus. Yeah? What a wonderful cry. And what do you think heaven's response to that is? There's a huge hallelujah. That's what I wanted to hear. Because indeed, the first cry of salvation, not that we knew it, it was save me, but it was beginning to save me into Christ, that I might be like him. But as we walk along this road, it's still to change. Give me another degree, one more degree to be like Jesus today. Yeah, in my home life, in my conversation, in my workplace, with my kids, yeah, with the church. Lord, change me, because we can't change ourselves. It is the dumbest thing to try and do, and the thing that you're destined to failure. You know this. You know, I'm going to make some commitments, and I'm going to do it. Well, it's destined for the rocks, isn't it? These New Year's resolutions that I'm going to resolve. Well, it's not. It's Lord, you can do it in me. You can do it. You and you only can do it. I just want to agree with it and believe it and think according to it. Get rid of the rubbish thoughts. Yeah? The church doesn't live on negativity. It lives on the positivity of the Word of God and the power of the Holy Spirit. 2 Corinthians 5:17. This is the way my mind wants to think. Therefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creation or creature. Yeah? The old has gone, and the new has come. Think it, Ian. And when I think it, I'll begin to live it. And not only my destiny is being mapped out by this, other people's destiny is as well. Because I don't bring negativity into life. I bring the Word of God. I bring the life of Christ. You bring hope where there's despair. You bring joy where there's mourning. It's not just a changed life, but a new life. You know, and the thing is, I think about this, it's like, you know, you've got an old push bike and someone gives you a brand new Mercedes Benz. You've got to think according to what you've been given. Yeah? My mind says I'm used to just travelling around in this way, at this speed, with the thing keep breaking down. But now life is different. You have the resources of God at hand. The whole of what God has, He makes available for you and for me. It's the way we think, it's our attitude, the way we see things. Our minds seem to lag behind what's happened spiritually. We are conditioned to think in a certain way, not according to what we are, but often what we were. Yeah? Or what others say we are, or the way we see things. You know, that sort of mind is the devil's territory. It's an open door for him to come and put you down and say, no, you cannot do it. If I could only share a bit of my testimony, I can't because I've got a word that God wants me to bring, but based on his strength has been made and manifest in my weakness. All I had to offer him was brokenness and strife and weakness and inadequacy. And he has done superabundantly. He has done. But if I kept thinking along the lines of what I thought before I was a Christian, or what other people have suggested about me, or my failures, I wouldn't be with you now. I wouldn't be here. Yeah. It's our attitude that's an issue to God today. He sees my mind as an issue. And get it right. Get it aligned, Ian. Stop it. We can find comfort in the way in our old thinking. Romans 11:36. We read, from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be glory forever and ever. It's not just a doxology, it's just not a little statement. It's to him be glory. What am I saying? I'm saying to him be glory. What glory? The glory he's given me to him. Yeah? The reflected glory to him. To live for his glory. Not some namby-pamby statement about someone else's glory. Can you give him someone else's glory that God's given? You can't. You give him the glory of the life that he's deposited in you, his Holy Spirit. You give it back to him and you say, Lord, use me. Manifest all that's good in you, in me, that you might receive glory and honor and praise through little old me, through my life. And it's all the more noticeable. The more weak I am, the more humble I am, the more he is exalted. The more it's all about Jesus. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to your bodies as a living sacrifice. Hallelujah. He doesn't want your silver and gold. That's not the primary thing. He doesn't want your abilities, necessarily. Certainly doesn't want your inability. He doesn't want your moans and groans. He doesn't want the poor old me's. All he wants, Kyla, is you. Just to say, here I am, wholly available. Take me as I am, and use me as you will. And the world will be filled with wonder, and you will be amazed at what God does in your life. This is your true and proper act of worship. So do not conform to the pattern of the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Yes, say yes. Renew it. Let me think. Let me have God thoughts, the God potential. Is the sky the limit for your potential in God? No, it's not. Is the heavens the limit? When he brings heaven down to you, should we act in an earthly way or a heavenly way? Are we heavenly men and women? We are. We're not so ethereal, but we're rooted on the earth. It's almost like a bolt of lightning coming from heaven. It's earthed. God's glory is earthed through humanity, redeemed humanity. And there it's to be seen. It happened with Jesus coming, didn't it? From heaven to earth. Then his Holy Spirit came. A sound of a rushing wind from heaven to earth, and was earthed in a group of men and women just like you and me. For our minds to be redeemed, they're set free from bondage. Our minds renewed in understanding towards God. Can I ask you a question? What's your view of God? If you had to describe him, how would you describe him? That's a really important thought. Because how you describe him, how he is to you, is how you live according to that. And I get back to the thing of seeing God. In the years when we were young Christians, a young pastor, there was a lovely vineyard saying, "Is one thing I ask, one thing I desire, is to see you." The one thing. You know, no matter where you are. Yeah. It's not to just to do, is to behold him. And out of beholding him, out of meeting with him, as we are now, as we were in that lovely worship, we're meeting with him. And he is transforming us. He's taking us the way we were when we came through that door to a place where he wants us to be when we go out of that door. Paul saw his ministry as one of helping others to see and know Christ. Colossians 2:2, "My goal is that they may be encouraged in heart and united in love, so they may have the full riches of complete understanding, in order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge." He wanted to take them from one degree of understanding to a totally different degree of understanding about Christ, about life, about this wonderful knowledge that comes through knowing him and walking with him. It's not a matter of knowing them. Please, I encourage you to have a daily Bible reading and an understanding of the Bible. But it's not just about knowing the Bible or knowing about church. But it's knowing about Jesus. This is the ultimate. If our knowledge of the Bible doesn't lead us to knowing Jesus, then you must question the knowledge of the Bible. It's about knowing the one who loves you more than you could ever understand. We need to know the head. Colossians 2:6, so then just as Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him. Continue. Rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught and overflowing with thankfulness. This is growing in the knowledge, growing in knowing, growing in loving. So how we live depends upon our understanding of how we were born. There's only one way to be born. Christians were birthed by accepting Jesus as Lord and God as Father. When we stop that, knowing God as Father and Jesus as Lord, something's going to grind to a halt. We need to continue. Paul says we continue in the same way. That Jesus must be as much your Lord now as he was when you first confessed him. The thing is, when you first confessed him, you didn't know very much of what he was going to ask of your life. Now, as you've grown and grown and grown, you understand what he's asking of your life. And maybe it's a bit harder to say Lord, because he's saying no to some stuff and yes to other stuff. He's saying stop or go. He's saying, Ian, I don't like this. And I need to respond to him as Lord. Hallelujah. As I come to a close in Colossians 2:9, for in Christ all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. And in Christ you have been brought to fullness. He is the head over every power and authority. But that's the way I need to think. Not that I'm half empty, but in Christ I'm full. As soon as I start saying that, no matter what, you may have a rough day, you may feel unwell, something's just some huge disappointment, where something was going to happen and it hasn't happened. You down. You've let someone down. If I, at that moment, believe that I've been brought to fullness through Christ, I'm immediately going to see things differently and act differently. Jesus is Lord. Yeah? Hallelujah. Praise God. How would you describe your relationship with Jesus? In what other ways would you describe your relationship with Jesus?
Long suffering.
Long suffering. What, he's from his end? Yeah. It's really important. Because you know him as your Saviour, as coming King, as Baptiser, Healer, Judge, Friend. They're all true. But I would say the one thing that should be at the top or near the top is that he is Lord. That's who he is. That's who he was when I first believed, and that's who he is now. And to the very end, when we see him, that thought of Lord, before we fall on our face, is because he is Lord. And to the degree that he is Lord is the degree to which my mind is going to be renewed, and I'm going to receive the fullness of all that he has. So forgetting what is behind and straining ahead, we press on towards the goal. Yeah. That our citizenship is in Him, it's in heaven, it's in Christ. And you have amazing potential. You do. Nothing is too difficult for you. Nothing is impossible. You can do all things through Him, Christ, who strengthens you. All things. So whatever His will is, as your mind is renewed, you'll know His good and pleasing will. Once you know His will, then to say, yes, Lord, I say, yes, Lord, because though this is ridiculous, I'm going to believe it. I tell you what, you've got a ridiculous pastor and wife here. I say that without qualification. They are ridiculous. Aren't they ridiculous? Of all the people we've known, they are, for what they do, what they believe God for, the number of times they've got out the boat and had to walk on water, the number of times they've been faced with what appears to be an apparent catastrophe, or a no-through road in Christ. They have done amazing things because of Him. And we're all the same, each one of us. Nothing. So shall we pray? Nothing's too difficult. Father, renew our mind. Would you, Father, that we might think and believe and act, that process of thoughts leading to our destiny. Father, though that's not a scriptural thing, but it's a biblical thing, that the way we think determines the way that we're going to speak, and the way we speak is going to determine the way we act. Father, renew our thinking, that we might think according to You. And our thoughts would be for You, they'd be from You, and they'd be unto You. For the glory of God. Amen. Be blessed, my friends.